I mentioned this last week, but after Jesus rose from the grave, and after he ate broiled fish with the disciples and taught and blessed more, after Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples remembered that he told them, now go and share this good news. Go and tell people. And so the disciples, the apostles, well, they were left with, well, what exactly do we tell people? What do we say? And you think about the world into which they would talk and tell people. There are people in the world at that time who, well, back in Rome, they worshipped a human. They worshipped the emperor. There were people in Rome who worshipped statues, and people all over different parts of the world that would make wood carvings and put them on the mantle and worship. So what do you say about Jesus to these folks? So the apostles got together and formed a circle, and they prayed, and they asked the Holy Spirit, tell us, what do we even say? And from that came the creed, the Apostles' Creed. And what creed means is, I believe. The translation just means, I believe. And so, it's been in the, well, we could call it the tradition of the church, but it's also a gift of the church that we have this. We call the Apostles' Creed, because tradition is really made up of all the people who've gone before us and all the people who are around us now. When you think of all that people have gone through, the world wars, the discovery of electricity, all the triumphs and celebrations, all the heartache and pain, through all of that, our sisters and brothers in Christ have held this creed, the Apostles' Creed. And so I invite you to join with so many and one another in praying this together. Would you join me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. There's something we say in there again and again. It's not just that we believe. It's not just that we believe that there was a day that someone landed on the moon. That's an interesting fact. It even applies to today. But what we say is, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in this Jesus who died and he rose again. That's no small thing. I believe in this Jesus who is risen. I believe in the Holy Spirit who comes and blesses and gives us joy and life and strength. I believe in. So the apostles are struggling with what they believe in and what they're understanding. And into this comes Thomas. Oh, poor Thomas. Thomas, if we only had a Thomas that we could prop up and look at for today. Poor Thomas. He did other things in life. But he gets known, you know, when all the apostles come together and they have campfires and they reminisce about the good old days, and they say, oh, I remember Peter. Peter's the one who walked on water. He got out of the boat and he was walking. Who else could do that? He walked on water. And they talk about these other amazing things about that time when there was just a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread and so many people ate. And then they're saying all these amazing stories. And then they get to Thomas.
Oh, remember what Thomas did? Oh, he's the one who doubted.
And do you have anybody like that in your family? Or you go to a family reunion and they bring up that one thing in your life that you're embarrassed about? And you want to tell everybody, you want to tell your aunt and your cousins, I've done other things. But they say, I remember that time you ate so much candy. I think you were at the Herbie movie, and you ate candy so much that you threw up, remember? And you want to tell them, yes, but I'm an important person now. I was junior fire chief of second grade, don't you know? But they're not going to remember that you were junior fire chief of second grade. They're going to remember that you threw up and they had to wash your shoes. So there's Thomas, who did many great things. But what do we talk about every year when we bring up Thomas? Oh, he's the one that doubted. Oh, Thomas. Thomas, what do we do with Thomas? Well, look what Thomas did. Thomas took his doubts right into the family of believers. Thomas did not let his doubts keep him away. Look at the tremendous act of faithfulness that Thomas did. Instead of having a struggle and bearing it down because he didn't want to be worried about what Peter would say, because he didn't want to be worried about what Bartholomew would say, Thomas went right into the bodies of believers and said, I'm having a hard time with this. I don't know if I can believe in resurrection. Can you say that? Can you say that in church? Can an apostle say that? Well, Thomas did. And Thomas not only said it, but he said it right with the body of believers. He brought it right in. He brought his life struggles. Because there's this myth. It's not a true religion. There is this myth, this false myth, that you have to have it all figured out before you can show up. There is this myth that you have to have your life all cleaned up and everything all figured out before you can come. There's this myth that you have to have the right tie and just dress just so before you can come. That's not our true faith. True faith and faithfulness says that when we have struggles, even when we have struggles, we come. And we pray. And we praise God together. Because, well, you know the human mind. You have one yourself. We've got complicated things inside this shell here. I mean, when you're little, when you're really little, if somebody asks you what your favorite food is, you know the answer. Chocolate ice cream. The next day it might change to pickle. But you still know the answer the next day. And the day after that, it might change to a lollipop or licorice. When you're little, you can do that. But when you grow older and your palate matures, well, what's your favorite food? Well, I don't know. Are you talking appetizer? Or are you getting into desserts? Are you talking of the meats? Or are you talking vegetables? We get more complicated than that. We get more complicated in our heads. You know, there's one Sunday where I was talking about the kingdom of God like a buffet of food. And afterwards, my sister was in here. And she said, you know, I just have one caution for you. You ever think that maybe other people don't love food as much as you do? I know that can't be. So here we have, in our own minds, do you believe? And not only that, thankfully, thankfully, the Bible gives us an example of this dad who was so worried for his son who needed to be healed. And he went to Jesus. And he went to Jesus and asked Jesus, "Can you heal my son?" And Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And this dad who needed his son to be healed, who yearned for health for his son, this man said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Notice in this Bible story what does not happen. Notice that Thomas did not stay away because he had an improper faith. Notice that Thomas did not stay away because he struggled, because he doubted. Notice that when he told the body of believers, "I don't know about this. I can't believe unless I touch his hands." Notice that the body of believers didn't say, "That's it, you're out." No, they couldn't kick him out because they loved him. They laughed with him. They ate with him. They prayed with him, just like the church now. We eat with each other. We laugh together. We cry together. We pray for each other. And then notice what does happen. Because Thomas brought himself in whatever way he was, because Thomas brought himself with his struggles, with his doubts, because Thomas just showed up and was honest with his whole life, Thomas held our risen Savior. Thomas touched the hands, not just of a crucified Savior, but of one, the one, who is risen again. Jesus came out of love for you and me. Jesus died, and dramatic things happen. I'm so glad I didn't ask you to consider the birds of the air today. That would have been a whole complicated sermon. But all these are written. These are written about Thomas. These are written about Salome, who went to the tomb expecting to find death. These are written about Mary, who also went to the tomb expecting to find death. These stories are written about Peter, who did walk on water. All of these are written, and there could be so many more, so much more, because Jesus did and does so much more. But all of this was written so that you can believe. And that by believing, you can have life. Yes, life into eternity. And also, in addition to, you can have the fullness of life now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.